I'm going to ask if you would you stand for the reading of God's word? Nehemiah chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Then Eliashab, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. The sons of Hashaniah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, its bars. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hakkai, repaired. And next to them, Meshulam, the son of Barakai, the son of Meshezabel, repaired. And next to Zadok, and next to them, Zadok, the son of Benai, repaired. And next to them, the Tekoites repaired. But their nobles would not stoop to serve the Lord. Jehoiada, the son of Pesha, and Meshallam, the son of Besadiah, repaired the gate of Yeshanai. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And next to them repaired Melatiah the Gibeonite and Jadon the Meronothite, the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, the seat of the governor of the province beyond the river. Next to them, Uziel the son of Harihi, goldsmiths, repaired. Next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, repaired, and they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to them, Raphaniah, the son of Hur, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired. Next to them, Jedidiah, the son of Harumpha, repaired opposite his house. And next to him, Hattush, the son of Heshbaniah, repaired. Malachiah, the son of Haram, and Hashab, the son of Pahath Moab, repaired another section, and the Tower of the Ovens. Next to him, Shalom, the son of Halohesh, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired, he and his daughters. Hanun and the inhabitants of Zanoah repaired the valley gate. They rebuilt it and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars, and repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the dung gate. Malachijah, the son of Rechab, ruler of the district of Beth-Hakkerem, repaired the dung gate. He rebuilt it and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And Shalom, the son of Kolheza, ruler of the district of Mizpah, repaired the fountain gate. He rebuilt it and covered it and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And he built the wall of the pool of Shelah of the king's garden as far as the stairs that go down from the city of David. After him, Nehemiah, the son of Hasbuk, ruler of half the district of Beth-Zur, repaired to a point opposite of the tombs of David, as far as the artificial pool, and as far as the house of the mighty men. After him, the Levites repaired Rehum, the son of Bani. Next to him, Hashbiah, ruler of the district, half the district of Keilah, repaired for his district. After him, their brothers repaired. Bavai, the son of Henadad, ruler of half the district of Keilah. Next to him, Ezer, the son of Jeshua, ruler of Mizpah, repaired another section opposite the ascent to the armory of the buttress. After him, Baruch, the son of Zabai, repaired another section from the buttress to the door of the house of Eliashab, the high priest. After him, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, son of Hakkaz, repaired another section from the door of the house of Eliashab to the end of the house of Eliashab. After him, the priests, the men of the surrounding area, repaired. After them, Benjamin and Hashub repaired opposite their house. After them, Azariah, the son of Masai, son of Ananiah, repaired beside his own house. After him, Bunai, the son of Henadad, repaired another section from the house of Azariah to the buttress and to the corner. Palal, the son of Uzai, repaired opposite the buttress and the tower projecting from the upper house of the king at the court of the guard. After him, Pedadiah, the son of Parash, and the temple servants living on Ophel, repaired to a point opposite the water gate on the east and the projecting tower. After him, the Tekoites repaired another section opposite the great projecting tower as far as the wall of Ophel. Above the horse gate, the priest repaired, each one opposite his own house. And after them, Zadok, the son of Immer, repaired opposite his own house. And after him, Shemaiah, the son of Sechaniah, the keeper of the east gate, repaired. After him, Hananiah, the son of Shalemai, and Hunan, the sixth son of Zaloph, repaired another section. After Meshullam, the son of Barakai, repaired opposite his chamber. And after him, Malchijah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired as far as the house of the temple servants of the merchants opposite the muster gate and to the upper chamber of the corner. And between the upper chamber of the corner and the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants repaired. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Right now, some of you are thinking, how did he pronounce all those names and what does this have to do with me? Let me answer the first question. You just say it with authority and you keep on going. The second part of that, though, of what does it have to do with me? Well, number one, it's in the Word of God. So these people, have I told you before that I believe this book? I believe that it's real. I believe that it's true. I believe that it's accurate. These people were real people in real time, real space, in a real place called Jerusalem, and they were doing real work that the Lord God had called a cupbearer with conviction to lead. That's who they are, and that's why they're there. And listen, so their names matter. And because their names matter, they are people who matter to the work of the Lord. That's the very first thing I want you to catch today, is that people matter for the Lord. I want to say to you, you know, here at LifePoint, Riverdale specifically, you hear me say often, and you hear other people say often, we want you to be known and to know. We want to know your name. Listen, it's only going to work for a period of time for you to be Bud and Deer and Hey Dude around here. We want to know your name because the Lord God has given you a name, and it is an important name, and he has brought you here, and we want you to be known and to know, not just the pastor, but each other. This is why we talk about getting into community. Because the Lord has placed all of us in three services, fixing to be a fourth one. He's placed all of us at this day and this time in this very place. And all of these people, listen, they had a very important job. And did you hear what? Some of them were priests. Some of them were perfumers. Some of them were goldsmiths. They were men. I'm sure there were ladies there. There weren't ladies' names who were called necessarily, but there were men, sons, and daughters. Everyone in that place, and they were all doing a work the Lord had called them to, and he had put them there. They had jobs. They had professions. But I want to tell you this. They're not remembered today because of their job, their profession. They're not remembered today because of their resume or their CV. You know what they're remembered for? For being there together to do a task that the Lord had called them to do. They were people in a specific place at a specific time doing work, not just on a wall, but building a people again. The people of God who had been dispersed. And this is why the Lord even has you and I here today. In a room where there are accountants, in a room where there are laborers, in a room where there are financial people, in a room where there are lawyers and teachers, where there's blue collar, where there's white collar, where there's tank tops with no collars, I don't care what it is, the Lord God, he knows you and he's brought you here because he loves you and he has a task for you and I together for people. Listen, we're building a building. You can't get away from it. You see it. But I need to remind you, as I remind myself, the building's not the issue, the people. This is what God's building. He's building a people for his name's sake. And this is why he has you and I here today. The Lord, you realize the Lord God who spoke a solar system into being could speak that building into being. He could do that. He could have spoke the walls of Jerusalem into being, but he chooses to use people because people matter to him. You realize that people matter so much to him that God demonstrated his love for broken people by sending his one and only son so that you and I might be able to gather the way that we're gathering today. People matter. People matter. This is why their names are there. This is why the Lord God had placed them there. Yes, they were about a task, and He has called us to a great task. It's not just a task of building a building. It's a task of discipling the next generation. It's a task of being men and women. It's being perfumers, goldsmiths, priests, lawyers, accountants that He sends into the workplace where you work each and every day. As He has planted you, He's planted you. Just like, did you catch that there were men and their children who were planted and they worked right on the other side of their mailbox to repair the wall? Did you realize that the Lord God has put you in your neighborhood so that you go past your mailbox so that you can begin to reach people, to help to tear down the wall of division between them and the Lord by bringing the gospel to them? This is what the Lord God, this is why we have LifePoint Riverdale. This is why we're here. This is why we've been placed here, not just as a building, but as a people to do a work. And some of you today, you've come in here and you're thinking, well, man, can God use me? Like, literally, can God use me? Can I tell you that yes, He can use you? Because every one of us in here are broken people who've been rebuilt and called to build. All of us. What you don't think the Lord can use, I want you to know that He takes joy in using broken things and putting them back together again and transforming them for His glory's sake alone. Listen, it takes all of us to disciple the next generation. While you're sitting in here, there are people down in the hallway rocking babies and holding babies. I want you to know, they're not just changing diapers. They're singing over them. They're praying over them. They're reading scripture to them. They're not just handing goldfish out to the kids in kids ministry. They're teaching them the Bible. There are men and women who are down there with about 35 or 40 middle schoolers pouring the word into them. This week, there are going to be groups that are gathered. You know why those groups gather? Because people matter and they need to hear the gospel. And that takes all of us. That takes all of us. So people matter. You matter. Today, if you're here and you're a guest and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, did you know that you matter to us? More than you matter to us, you matter to the Lord God. And He has brought you here for this day. Notice the second thing, though, because people matter, the work really does matter. The work that we do really matters. Listen, the people had already come back to Jerusalem. Some of them were repairing the temple. That's what the book of Ezra is about. Nehemiah is about the people coming back to build the wall so that there could be a protection for the city and those who would come to worship and those who were living. Did you, listen, catch this. Here we are, roughly 2,500 years later, and do you realize that some of those walls are still standing today? The work that they did mattered so much that it is, some of those walls, that wall is still standing today. Listen, the work that you're sitting in right here, did you realize that you're a part of a church that's been around for 113 years? And Lord willing, we're going to see another 113 years. Somewhere back in the like 1910s, somebody had a vision for a church in Smyrna, Tennessee. They needed a church. Somewhere back in the mid-80s, somebody had a vision for a place called Riverdale Baptist Chapel. Somewhere back in 2015, LifePoint said, we're going to send out a young redhead with 200 people to go to the other side of Murfreesboro and start a church called LifePoint Murfreesboro. In 2017, LifePoint Borough and Riverdale Baptist came together for this right here. You're sitting in that. All of that happened because somewhere, some way, back way in the distance, somebody had a vision for it. Do you realize it takes people today, you, who are planting and working and saying, listen, the generations that are going to come, that are going to be here, that are already coming, there's got to be a place and a people who hear the gospel. the work that you do, the work that I do, it matters for the kingdom. Not just the work that we do here together in this building, but the work you do out of this building. I want to clarify something for you real quickly. That building that we're going to walk into, Lord willing, sometime into January, when we walk into there, there'll be reconstruction and remodeling in here for preschool, and then they're going to move down and finish up all of the children's area. Hopefully in June, Lord willing, in June of next year. It's going to be short. They're all going to be gone. The work on the building will be done, but I want to tell you the work that happens in the building will go on, and what happens in here is the most important. It's the most important. And because people matter and the work matters, it takes all of us to do that. It takes all of us. It might be easy for some of us in here to look and go, you go, Kyle, you go, Kyle. Zion, boy, you do a great job. Pastor Jordan, you're doing a great job. Man, I love our children's ministry. Austin, you're doing a great job. Do you realize we can't do this? It takes all of us to do this. This is why he's put us here. The Lord's put us here. All of us have to do it because all of the work matters. All the people matter. All the work matters. All of it. But can I tell you what the most important work that matters is? And the only reason we get to work today, the only reason that we get to work today is because 2,000 years ago, think about this, the walls that they were rebuilding, do you know those are the same walls that 500 years later Jesus would walk through? The sheep gate. You remember the sheep gate that was mentioned? The sheep gate where all the sheep, you know what the sheep would come through that gate for? They were the ones that were headed to the temple. They would be used for sacrifice for atonement. 500 years later, Jesus would walk into those gates. He would preach. He would teach, he would rebuke the Pharisees, he would call people to repentance, he would heal blind eyes. He would walk through teaching, cleaning out the temple. It was those same gates that they led him to the outside of, those walls that they rebuilt, they led him to the outside of them where his greatest work that you and I sit in light of today, his work on the cross, the work of salvation, him laying his life down. He did that work so that you and I could come and have this work, not so that we could earn anything. Listen, he is our merit. And because of what he did, we now have a right relationship with God the Father. Jesus who died on a cross, the lamb that was slain, the lamb who went through the east gate coming on triumphal entry, who stood by the sheep gate, who was flogged and murdered and beaten there by the muster gate, who then led out of those walls and hung on a cross so that you and I might be able to gather the way we do today. That's the work that matters. That's the work that matters. But because of that work, the work that we do today matters. What we do today matters. I'm going to ask that we take a moment and we remember and we participate and we eat the supper, that Lord's Supper that the Lord God instituted, that Jesus instituted on the night before he gave his life. If you're a deacon in here and you're serving today, would you head to the back? The trays are back there. In fact, I'm going to ask if you're a deacon and you are able to serve, would you go ahead and go on back there as those trays are being picked up? When you grab those, you can go ahead and come to the front and begin to pass them out. Communion is all about, the Lord's Supper is all about remembering the sacrifice of Christ. Jesus said, as often as you eat and drink, you're proclaiming his death until he returns. Today, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, the Lord's Supper itself is for believers. It's for believers. It is a memorial meal that we take to remember one who laid his life down. And when I say memorial, it's not a memorial as if he is dead and gone. He died and he rose again. He is alive today. But we remember his sacrifice. You can go ahead and begin to pass those out, please. So if you're a believer, this is for you. The scripture tells us that on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he took the wine, that juice. The scripture tells us that he blessed it. He thanked the Lord God. And then he distributed it out. That night, he redefined the Passover meal. He redefined that Passover meal in light of what was coming the next morning. His body broken for us. His blood spilled on a cross. Hebrews tells us that without the shedding of blood, without the spilling of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So today what we do is we thank the Lord God for what he has done. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul told the Corinthians, he said, listen, don't eat it on your own. He said, you guys wait on one another. He said, you've been taking it in a way that was not proper. You're filling up on the bread. You're making your bellies full. You're drinking the wine. You're getting drunk while your brothers over here and your sisters, they don't have anything. He says, so therefore, I want you to wait. In fact, he says, I want you to take a few moments and I want you to examine yourselves. One, is there anything between you and a brother? Is there anything between you and a sister that needs to be confessed? Is there any hindrances between you and the Father in communication? I'm going to ask right now, if you would, let's take just a moment, and I'm going to ask that you please go before the Father in examination. Would you do that? Luke, on your way back up, would you bring me the elements, please? Father, in this moment, we thank you for your plan of salvation. We thank you, Father, for how you have, before the foundation of the world, knew that this would cost the life of your Son. Jesus, I want to thank you for your body broken. Jesus, I want to thank you for your blood spilled so that we might now be joint heirs with you. Brothers and sisters, with a right relationship with God the Father because of what you did. I would ask that today, Holy Spirit, would you call people to life? And it's in the name of Jesus that I ask these things. Amen. Today, we take these elements not for salvation, but because we have salvation in Jesus alone. Would you take and eat his body broken? Would you take and drink his blood spilled for you? Church, that's the work that matters the most right there. That's the church, that's the work that matters the most. The work of Christ on the cross. And in light of that, we're building a place and a people who might one day come to know him as Savior in this place. I'd like for you to take just a moment, please. I want to show you the testimony of a few of our church members, please, if you take a moment to watch.
I'm Marcus. This is my wife, Cassie. We attended a church where we used to live in Tyler, Texas, named Life Point.
Yeah. But we really thought it was like, oh, that'd be hilarious.
Yes.
And here we are, 4 years later.
We met a family every time we came in who greeted us the first few times.
And they remembered our kids' names.
Yeah. They did remember. It made us feel right at home.
Mm-hmm. My name is Chance. This is my wife, Jamie. My prayer it would be that we step out of our comfort zone and that we step in and then we serve the church through our giving, through our prayer, of course, but also through serving.
We feel like with our kids, it's important for them to see we want to be not just hearers of the word, but we want to be doers of the word.
I'm Scott Rowlett, my wife, Pam. We are moving into retirement. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? The property where we live now, we dedicated it to the Lord's purpose. It's what the Lord has blessed us with, but it's His anyway. And I want to give it back to Him.
Years ago, I'll never forget this. A woman came up to me at church and said, thank you. My husband would not have been able to go on this mission trip had Scott not sponsored him. So I came home later and I said, did you sponsor somebody on a mission trip? And he's like, yeah. I said, well, you didn't tell me. It was a little embarrassing for me. And he's like, well, I thought maybe you wouldn't go along with it. And I mean, that was like a dagger. And I just began to pray, Lord, I want to be more generous. I don't want to be tight-fisted with everything. It was the Lord's doing that He moved me in that direction.
If we don't see that the Lord is the one that's doing this, then we're just going to see it as another building.
It is our responsibility to give and pray and commit to serve and really love each other and take care of each other as a church, but also making sure that for generations to come, they'll have a place to gather and a place to lead people.
You know how important mission is to me. And my family went across the world and lived. We've traveled the world, but I want to make sure for the glory of the Lord. But I want to tell you that the mission isn't just over there. The mission is right here. It's right here in our backyard. The British missionary C.T. Studd, who was a missionary to China, he wrote a poem to his grandchildren. And there's a famous line in it that you probably have heard. To his grandchildren, he said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. The famous missionary, his name was Count Zinzendorfer. How'd you like that name? He was a Moravian missionary. One of the things that he would tell folks is this. He says, you preach the gospel, you die, you're forgotten. Here's what I can tell you. All of us will die. All of us will be forgotten. The question is will we preach the gospel? You say, forgotten? You know, the older I get, I don't think I'm an old dude, but I think the older I get, especially with grandkids, I begin to think about most of us in this room, you had no relationship with your great, great grandparents. That's how quickly life goes. Jim Elliot, the missionary who gave his life in a very faraway place of Ecuador in the village trying to reach the Aka Indians, writes this in his journal. He wrote it 6 years before he died. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And folks, I want to say this to you. The Lord God has put us in this place at this time, doing the things that we do, not so that we can have just bigger houses, better cars, go on greater vacations, but so that we can invest our lives, our time, our abilities, our talents, and our finances for the glory of God for the generations that will come. That's why we're here. It's because someone back there said, I'm all in. Today, because people matter and the work matters, I unashamedly say to you that our giving matters today. Our giving matters. The giving of our time, our talents, yes. Yes, we call you. Now, listen, you've been praying. You've been praying through your prayer card. I've asked you to write down your prayers. You have gone and you have fasted and said, Lord, what will you have for me? And you've written down your prayers. I've asked you, would you consider like making a commitment to step in and begin serving? I've asked you, would you consider, you've not become a member, like you've become a part of this body. This is the time. I had a man today say, listen, I'm signing up for the next class. This is a place I want to plant my life. I unashamedly ask you today, I would ask you to be involved financially with this in whatever way that is. It may be beginning to tithe. It may be giving a one-time offering. It may be giving a monthly one. However it is that the Lord is calling you to step in, I ask you, would you do that? Today, here's what I'd ask our worship team, would you go ahead and come on back up? Guys, here's what I'm going to ask us to do. In just a moment, Zion and this team, they're going to lead us in singing a song. And during that song, if you know it, you can sing it. But during that song, I'm asking you as a family or as a household, however you choose to do that, I would ask you, would you come to these walls? I don't know if I don't know if you can see these walls here. There may be one behind me at some point. Would you? Yeah, there it is. This is like a photo wall. This goes all the way back to Oakland High School. You can find skinny redheaded David on there, David McCammon on there somewhere. You can find. I have a teenage son on there and a grandson now, who has a grandson in here now. What I'm asking is that I would love to see this be a place that my great and my great-great-grandkids have a place to worship. I'd ask that you come, you bring your card, you fold it, you put it in the unless box, and then you take one of those markers and you write on the board somewhere, somehow, just, I'm here, I'm in. It may be your verse that you have. Whatever you would like. It's going to feel crowded. It's going to feel like movement. That's great. There's something about when we come together like this. And I would love to invite you to that. I want to make sure that I'm very clear. This isn't just for people who are making a commitment financially. This is for you making a commitment to serve. I want to join this church. I want to know more about that. Come and do this. And then you sign the board somewhere. And then you go back and you begin to sing. You can begin giving your offering today if you'd like. Here's what I ask. 100% of it that goes to the Unless Riverdale. That's a memo you need to put on that. Unless Riverdale, 100% of it goes towards this project. Your tithes and offerings go to this project, go to this church. You need to know that. 100% of this goes towards this building project. I'm asking you, would you consider stepping in? People matter, the work matters, and our giving together matters. Lord God, I love you. I'm asking today, Lord, would you do a work that only you can do? Unless you do this, we labor in vain. Amen.
We have only one life, and it soon will pass. And only what's done for Christ will last. Jesus, you can use me, Lord. Riches and houses, the cars and lands will all pass away, but my life will stand. Jesus, you can use me, Lord. We sing together, for your glory, for your glory, for your glory, for your glory, you can use me, Lord. We have only one life, and it soon will pass, and only what's done for Christ will last. Jesus, you can use me, Lord. We hold nothing back from you. All our riches and houses, our cars and lands, well, they'll all pass away, but my life will stand. So Jesus, you can use me, Lord, for your glory, Lord, for your glory, for your glory, for your glory.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you and we adore you. Lord, we ask that you would just continue to shape us into a people that look like our Savior. Lord, that we are willing to sacrifice, Lord, for the good of others, the way that you sacrificed yourself for us. And Lord, that we would be willing, Lord, to lay down all the things and the abilities and the time and the resources that you've given us so freely by your gracious hand, Lord, that we would give them back to you in praise and in honor to your name, Lord, for all eternity. Thank you, Jesus, for being so gracious to us and to this church, Lord. Would you please continue in that? Lord, help us to continue to worship you as a people, we pray in Jesus' name.